You're in incredibly fine condition, the doctor concluded after finishing a thorough physical of the elderly gentleman. How old did you say you were, sir? Elderly man says, 78. Doctor says, 78? Why? Wow, you have the health of a 60-year-old. What's your secret? Patient says, well, I guess, doc, it's due to a pact the wife and I made when we got married years ago. She promised that if she was ever about to lose her temper, she'd stay in the kitchen until she cooled off. And I pledged that when I got angry, I'd keep quiet too and go outside until I calmed down. The doctor said, I don't understand. I mean, how could that help you stay so fit? Elderly patient said, well, I guess you could say I've lived an outdoor life. Who would have thought that a lack of communication could lead to a lasting marriage? It doesn't, and sadly, it won't. Lifestyle website YourTango.com polled 100 mental health professionals and found that communication problems were cited as the most common factor today that leads to divorce. Similarly, a 2012 study by Minho University found that a lack of communication was and is the biggest marriage breaker for women. Now, because of a lack of understanding regarding the importance of communication within the marriage, many relationships fail before the need is actually recognized. If this is true, in accordance with our relationships on earth, could the same be said about our relationship with God in heaven? Do we have a lot of or a lack of communication with God? Dr. George Washington Carver once said this. He says, my prayers seem to be more of an attitude than anything else. I indulge in no lip service, but ask the great God silently, daily, and oftentimes many times a day, to permit me to speak to him. I ask him to give me wisdom, understanding, and bodily strength to do his will. Hence, I am asking and receiving all the time, end quote. How many times daily? How much time daily do we spend in conversation and communication with God? And if we are not, then how strong is our perceived relationship with God? Now, today we're going to tie in a spousal relationship with a Savior, congregant, or Christian relationship, and we're going to see how they, quote-unquote, marry together. Psalm 116, 1 and 2 says this. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hears my prayers and answers them. Because he bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I breathe. Now, this sounds good, and frankly, we should be praying that often, but sadly, we oftentimes restrict our prayers to that maybe that short little moment right before we go to sleep. And if you're like most people, that doesn't go too far because most of you work so hard, you say, I never even get through half of my prayers before I actually fall asleep. That might be indicative of a lack of communication with God. Famous author and pastor Rick Warren claims that we become a best friend of God through constant conversation. Warren says you'll never grow a closer relationship with God by just attending church once a week or even having a daily quiet time. Friendship with God is built by sharing all of our experiences with him. Of course, it is important to establish the habit of daily devotional time with God, but he wants more than an appointment in your schedule. Warren goes on. He says he wants to be included in every activity, every conversation, every problem, and even every thought. You can carry on, says Warren, continuous open-ended conversation with him throughout your day, talking with him about whatever you are doing or thinking at that moment. End quote. Are we in constant conversation and communication with God? Let's look at our sermon text. We got a lot of these today. They're all kind of synonymous. Three different individuals who wrote them, but they actually all sound very similar. And I'm going to take these one by one, so we're going to go through these kind of rapid fire here. First, let's start with Psalm 55, 17. David says, I will pray morning, noon, and night, pleading aloud with God, and he will hear and answer. Next, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, always keep on praying. He goes on to say in Colossians 4, verse 2, don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come. And then lastly, Jesus says in Luke 18:8, he says, when I, the Messiah, return, how many will I find who have faith and are praying? Do we exhibit a lot of or a lack of communication with God? You know, Augustine once said that, quote, prayer is our speech to God. Now, with all due respect to this great Christian theologian, prayer is not only a one-way speech. As a matter of fact, I think that we have actually taken this idea of speech and we've carried it too far. Because in many cases, and I think we can see this, spouses, can you imagine communicating by way of speech to your spouse? Can you imagine going to your spouse and saying, listen, for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to talk, you're going to listen. You can make notes, you cannot raise your hand, you cannot ask questions. And when we're done with this speech, now you can talk to me and now you can communicate with me. I'm going to guess you will not get very far in that speech. I'm assuming that it's not going to end well. Some might say that is the only way we speak in our house, and if that's the case, we probably need to talk. The psalmist said in Psalm 85:8, he says, I am listening carefully to all the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his people, his saints, if they will only stop their sinning. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12, he says, for the Lord is watching his children, listening to their prayers, but the Lord's face is hard against those who do evil. Now, it's interesting to note that we can see that God listens to us, hears us, cares enough about us to respond to us when we pray. But prayer is not only speech. You see, prayer is communication with God through conversation with God. You literally have the opportunity daily to converse with God. The question is, are we speaking to God in this way? In essence, a pattern of Christian communication might look or sound something like this. We talk, he listens, we read the word, and then we hear from our Lord. This is the pattern that God gives us. In essence, we know that when we talk, he listens, but we need to listen to him, and the way we listen to him and hear him is when we read his word that was given to us by him. This is a great pattern of Christian communication. Billy Graham once said this. He says, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. Now, we see this personified by the prophet Jonah in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He said, in my great trouble, and by the way, if you don't know the story of Jonah, Jonah was in some trouble. I mean, if you're in the belly of a great fish, you're in trouble. And so we understand that Jonah was struggling at this moment. Obviously, this was not an easy time for Jonah, but here's what he says. He says, in my great trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of death I called, and Lord, you heard me. Now, if you get down to the real brass tacks and basic examples of what prayer is, this is Jonah calling out to God and saying, I'm in trouble. But here's what we know. Jonah understood that God heard him, but it didn't end there. Not only did God listen to him, but as we read in Jonah 3, 1 and 2, God replied to him. Jonah knew that there was a plan for him. Now, so often, a lot of our prayer and communication with God is based solely on our needs. In essence, we do something like this. We say, God, I need this, and God, I need that. Now, spouses, I'm going to warn you, if this is the only way you're communicating with your spouses, your relationships are in trouble. If the only thing that you say to your spouses on a daily basis is, honey, I need this, and babe, I need that, you're in trouble. And honestly, at the end of the day, while your needs might be met, the person that you're seeking those needs from is going to get tired of hearing you ask about these needs or ask for these needs constantly without giving anything back. We have got to know that this is a give and take relationship. Here's what we oftentimes do in prayer. We just simply say, God, I need you, and once you satisfy my needs, I don't need you. This becomes a problem. Jonah had needs, and he knew where to go to get those needs met. Someone once said that most men, they didn't say women, most men forget God all day and ask him to remember them at night. Prayer is more than need. In their famous book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Prayer, which, by the way, is perfect reading for me, co-authors Mark Galley and James S. Bell Jr. introduce an acronym that lists the four key components of communication with God in prayer. Now, if you know what an acronym is, basically it's a word formed by letters that literally create some kind of meaning that is appropriate for a lesson that's being taught. So the acronym is ACTS, A-C-T-S. You may have read this, you may have heard about this. Oftentimes it's used in ministry to share just how important prayer is. But the acronym is ACTS, and the coordinating letters represent A, adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. These are the Christian components that comprise prayer. So let's go backwards to forward. I know you're going to say why. There's a reason and a purpose. So let's start with the S of that acronym, ACTS. That stands for supplication. Supplication covers our needs. It's not wrong to communicate with God. It's not wrong to pray to God. And it certainly is not wrong to ask things of God. Even Jesus tells us to do it. He says in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Look at Psalm 55:17 of our sermon text. David says, I will pray morning, noon, and night. So David prays a lot. He says, I will pray morning, noon, and night, pleading, asking, begging, pleading aloud with God, and he will hear and answer. Now, when we communicate our needs and our spouse or our Savior answers those needs, we must follow that up and communicate with the T of that acronym, which is thanksgiving. You see, so often, a lot of times, people will say, God, I'll pray to you only when I need you. But once those needs are met, thanksgiving is never offered. And the prayers end with our needs. But here we see, and of course Jonah can live and was able to live and tell about this, that God does answer our prayers, and we have to meet those needs that he met with us with thanksgiving. In essence, we have to give thanksgiving. Paul said in Colossians 4:2, he says, don't be weary in prayer. Paul prayed a lot. He says, don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come. Now, spouses, can you imagine if in your marriage relationships, if you just and we just spent a little more time in thanksgiving when we're communicating? Can you imagine if we posted our needs to our spouses, and we're going to do it anyway because we're human and we do have needs, but can you imagine if we thanked our spouses for providing for our needs? Can you imagine if we showed our spouses gratitude instead of attitude for filling our needs? Can you imagine how our relationships would improve if we showed just a little more thanksgiving to the very people that God put before us and with us? Imagine what would happen. You know, Ralph Herring once said that, quote, prayer is need finding a voice. Does our spouse and does our Savior receive a lot of thanksgiving? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:6, and it kind of ties all of this together. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's our S and our T, let your requests be made known to God. Now, how can we be sure that he hears and answers us? We must confess. This is your C. We must confess our sinfulness. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. The psalmist said in Psalm 66:16-20, and we're inclined to remember some of the best people that have walked through the doors of this church, and good old Larry Salzman. I think this is week two in a row of me talking about Larry. It's one of Larry's favorite passages. Larry loved this passage. Here's what the psalmist says. He says, starting with 16 of chapter 66, he says, come and hear, all of you who reverence the Lord, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried to him for help with praises ready on my tongue. He would not have listened if I had not confessed my sins. But he listened. He heard my prayer. He paid attention to it. Blessed be God who didn't turn away when I was praying and didn't refuse me his kindness and his love. Is a lot of our communication with our spouses and our Savior steeped in humility and confession? What would happen if instead of crossing our arms, taking the act of attitude and saying nothing, what would happen if we actually undid our arms, reached out our arms, hugged that individual, and just told that individual that we love so much that we wronged that individual, that we could humbly look them in the eye and say, I am sorry for what I did to you. I love you, and I realize that I am not perfect, and I am asking for forgiveness from you. Can you just imagine for a moment if instead of being so combative, we just confessed what we did? Can you imagine how much our spouses would appreciate us laying down our guns and reaching out our arms and telling them we're sorry? You see, this is what God asks of us. He wants us to humbly admit our sins. He wants us to certainly realize where we've gone wrong, and he certainly wants us to commit ourselves to him in thanksgiving as we give him our needs, but to confess our sins before him. This is what he asks of us. Do we confess our sins to him? And if we do, how often do you say, God, I'm sorry. I know I did wrong. I'm sorry. Honey, I know I did wrong. I'm sorry. You see, when we realize that our needs are met, that our sins are forgiven, when we confess them, not only do we pray and communicate with thanksgiving, but we are able to show the A of Acts, which is adoration. There's a reason we save this one for last. You see, adoration is a large part of our prayer life and our personal life and communication. For those of you who are married, if you've been married a long time, if you've been married a long time, I'm assuming that you can say we've been married a long time because we adore each other. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have your bad days, because you do. And obviously, sometimes people have bad months and bad years. But at the end of the day, you adore each other. There is a level of adoration that you feel for each other. And that adoration that is shared among spouses is supposed to be shared with our Lord and Savior as well. This adoration is incredibly important because every day you are allowed the opportunity, as you have life on this earth, to look that person in the eye when you present your needs to them, and you're going to do it, and when you thank them, and you got to do it, and when you make mistakes and confess to them that you made mistakes, you got to do it. But every single day should be a day that you can look them in the eye and say, I love you because I love what you do, and I know that I'm called to do it. That goes for our spouses, and it goes for our Lord and Savior. How much do we truly adore and love our Lord and Savior? The last six Psalms, 145 through 150, are songs and prayers of adoration and praise. How often do we tell our spouse and our Lord and Savior how much we love them, care about them, would never want to live without them, a little or a lot? You want to make your spouse's day? You want to make your Lord's day? Just tell them how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you adore them. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication should make up a lot of our communication with him and them that we care about the most. Oftentimes, we need help in overcoming our lack of or loss of communication. In many cases, for those of you who are married, who have been married a long time, at one time or another, you may have struggled. And I'm guessing that you reached out for a coworker, a family member, a pastor, a counselor. That's okay. You did the right thing. Oftentimes, we need an outside voice to help us see what's going on inside our world. That's okay. But when it comes to prayer, it functions similarly. We need help. Who does this? I'm going to read Romans 8:26 and 27, this answers our question, and Paul makes it very clear of the help that we can receive. He says, and in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. We need help. You see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Jesus called him that in John 14, 26. He's our helper in prayer. And when we pray a lot, we get closer to God, and in turn, that helps to defeat something that a lot of people deal with today called loneliness, and it brings us closer to God, and it increases our righteousness. This is just part of prayer. James 5:16, I love it, because James sums it up so well. He says, and he confirms this, he says, the effectual. Effectual means that it has a reason, a purpose, there's a goal, and it meets that goal. He says, the effectual, fervent, compassionate, passion prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me ask you something. Aren't we who we are around? Isn't that true? I mean, don't we kind of conform to our crowd? You ever met anybody that lived in Illinois and they moved to Texas? And 10 years later, they come back and they talk just like they've lived in Texas their whole life. And you look at me and say, but I know you're from Illinois. You're not from Texas. I know you live in Texas, but now you sound like you were born in Texas. Here's what happens. We conform to our crowd. We start to sound like whomever we are around. And that's true with the people that we hang out with the people we spend time with the people that we celebrate life with. This is what happens. You will start to sound like the people that you spend time with. And the more we talk with them and to them and around them, the more we start to sound like them. Now, that can be bad for some people. I know some people that are spending time with the wrong people, and they're starting to sound like those people. That's no good. You see, a lot of communication with God will only bring us closer to God. You're going to start to sound like the Word of God. You're going to be steeped in righteousness when you spend time in the Word of God. That Word of God defeats loneliness, because when you're communicating with Him, you're with Him. And no longer will you feel like that you're all alone in this lonely world, but rather you will feel like that you are part of His Word. Loneliness be gone. Righteousness comes in. We can get closer to God. I love Matthew 6:33. Seek first, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. We should all want a little more righteousness. We should all say, I don't want loneliness. Pastor Durrell Kiefer claims that, quote, prayer becomes a lifestyle that allows us to become spiritually connected with God for a lifetime through open communication. So, how do we openly communicate and pray to God? Well, our sermon texts that we've read tell us to pray a lot. We now know that the Holy Spirit helps in our communication and conversation with God. But how do we actually pray to God? To answer this question, Walter B. Knight once said that prayer is not monologue. It is a dialogue. It is our talking to God and God talking to us. If we communicate with Him, how does He talk to us? Well, we said earlier that our communication must be done by way of conversation. In essence, when we talk to Him, we need to expect to hear from Him. So how does this happen? We're going to follow four biblical steps to accomplish this. First, we must seek Him. This is incredibly important. We must seek Him. This morning, I was eating breakfast. I was in the basement in front of my computer eating cereal. Cam and the girls were upstairs. We were leaving on vacation immediately after church for just a one-night getaway, taking my family with me and my brother and his wife. And so my wife is diligently trying to put all this stuff together. I'm downstairs getting ready for today, but I wanted Jillian to come downstairs. I needed Jillian. Our house is large enough that I can't project my voice. So my grandmother, I love my grandmother. She's deceased, but my grandmother used to call people this way. She'd go, "Yoo-hoo!" So I have taken that from my grandmother. That's how we communicate in our house. I'm sure the neighbors must think we are complete fools. But so it's "Yoo-hoo!" Well, in Jillian's case, that's for Cam. Jillian has her own special one. It's "Jillian!" I did it 8 times. No response. No response. Now notice I did not get up from my chair from the computer. I just said, "Jillian!" After 8 times, she didn't come. I went upstairs and said, "What is going on?" Then I realized they were watching SpongeBob. They couldn't hear anything. So there you go. So here's the point. Here's the point. The point is that we've got to see, if I would have gotten out of my chair, gone up the stairs, found Jillian, I could have communicated with her. I opted to stay in my chair. She opted to stay up in the kitchen. There was no communication. We have got to seek that person out. If you're going to communicate with God, you got to seek him, which means you got to look for him. You got to say, "God, I want to talk to you. God, I'm looking for you. God, I need you." So we seek. In addition, once we seek that person or we seek God out, now we have to speak to God and share with him and voice our communication with him. It's one thing to seek someone. It's another thing to speak to someone. I can remember one day we were in Vegas and we were on vacation and I was in the, I can't remember what hotel it was. I think it was the MGM Grand. And we were sitting in the MGM. And I look across the room, all the way across the room. Now, I'm never a fan of this guy, but we always run into stars and athletes wherever we go. And there is Pete Rose. I know you're shocked. He is in the MGM, and he's there. And so anyway, I look over, I said, "Cam, it's Pete Rose." Now, it's one thing to seek him. I did. I know you're shocked. I went up to him. It's another thing to speak to him, which I did, and he didn't really care to speak to me. That's okay. But it's one thing to seek, but now we got to speak. And so seek and speak. Seek God out, and then speak to God. Listen to 2 Chronicles 7:14, kind of brings all this together. God says, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." Seek my face and pray. Speaking and seeking. There's your first two steps. You really want to get involved in constant conversation, communication with God? Seek him, speak to him. Next, here's what we're going to do after that. Next, we are going to read God's word. So many people, you know these people, you've talked to these people, and say, "I tried to pray. I don't get anything out of it. It means nothing. I never hear from him. He never answers my prayers." Let me tell you why. Because he is going to communicate with us through his word. We are going to read his word. It is critical to read his word. This is how we hear from our Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16, I think one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. I think I've preached from this passage more than any Scripture. Here's what it says. Paul says, "The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right." Root word, of righteousness. Right. You see, that's the righteousness that we spoke about earlier. So what we do, if you say, "I want a better prayer life," I'm going to tell you this. You got to seek him, you're going to speak to him, but then you're going to read about him. And when you read his word, here's your fourth step. When you read his word, you then get to heed his words. This is how it happens. Seek, speak, read, heed. Easy to remember. Seek, speak, read, heed. You'll heed his words. Jesus said in John 8:47, he says, "Anyone whose father is God listens gladly to the words of God." You want to know what God wants you to do? You say, "God, I got needs." Seek him out, speak to him, read him, and then listen to him and heed him. You'll hear. Our words meet his word in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. and the line of communication is open. That's what you want. How do we converse with God? Well, if we're going to communicate with him openly and constantly, I will always encourage us to do it conversationally and naturally. Just do it and be real. Just be real. We don't have to pray like the hypocrites, Matthew 6, verse 5. We don't want to pray like the heathen, Matthew 6, verse 7, or the Pharisees, Luke 18, 11. You just got to be yourself. I love this example. Mark Galley, James S. Bell Jr. from The Complete Idiot's Guide to Prayer, they said this. They said, the idea is to pray to God as we talk to one another, conversationally. It says, in conversation, we don't begin and end formally, nor is our language stilted. For another thing, people don't take turns talking in this way. They go on. They said, an absurd example will show how divorced much prayer is from conversation. Here's what they say. They say, let's say that my wife and I are entertaining a couple of friends for dinner. If we were to conduct a conversation as we do in prayer, it might go something like this. Dear Barbara, good wife and most excellent mother to my children, I say, I must thank you for the bountiful meal that you set before us tonight. Your grace and mercy to us are marvelous. Amen. At which point the dinner guest would come back and say, Barbara, most excellent cook and gracious host, let me add my abundant thanksgiving and petition you in your mercy to reveal to me the recipe for the lasagna, which was a most splendid dish indeed. Amen. At which point Barbara says, oh, most blessed friends and husband, cherished companions in the journey of life, knock it off. These authors say, I wonder if God, after hearing our formal prayer, sometimes say, knock it off. I marvel at the number of people who say, oh, I can't pray. You want me to pray? I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. Because I don't often speak with these and thys and thous. And God expects me to sound like I wrote the King James Bible. No, he doesn't. He wants you to be conversational, natural, and real. He wants you to seek him and speak to him and read about him and then listen to him. But it's got to be real. Please make it real. Just talk to God as if he was right there next to you, because guess what? He is. This is real. Proverbs 15:8 says this, God delights in the prayers of his people. He wants a lot of communication, but it has to be from the heart. It's got to be conversational. It's got to be natural. And it's got to be real. Wednesday night Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study. If you were there, you know what happened. We got a late start because we had a ton of prayer requests. I mean, it just was constant. And so we're getting ready to pray. And this is what we always start. We take the request and then we pray. And I'm standing there. I'm like, wow, I just look at that list. I'm like, whew. And I'm going, I said, let's pray. And I'm so overwhelmed by all of the needs. And I just said, wow, man. All right, here we go. And I pray. It was the most natural, real prayer because I was overwhelmed. I didn't start by saying, oh, heavenly Father of merciful places in faraway distant lands called heaven. We don't do that. Just don't do that. It's uncomfortable. Make it natural. Make it conversational. Make it real. That's what God wants. That's what he expects. Sadly, our earthly relationships, especially between spouses, are broken oftentimes by the words that aren't spoken. And our heavenly relationship can be similarly affected. You see, God longs for us to seek him and speak to him by way of our acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Then he expects us to read his word and heed his words so we know what his will is for us. This helps to defeat our loneliness and increase our righteousness. We must constantly be praying. Now, we can use our earthly relationships as reminders. And oftentimes, they're good reminders. We're reminded to be conversational. Talk to God the way you talk to your spouse, unless you're angry with your spouse, at which point you may not want to talk to God that way. Although he would accept it, and he would still love you. The other night, we were talking. Jillian's in kind of a situation right now. She has been asked to play for the Cornerstone Christian Academy golf team. And so we put this before her and we said, listen, I can't make the decision for you because if I could, I would tell you, do it! But I said, I'm not going to make that decision for you. Not at all, although you should do it. I'm not going to impact your decision at all, but you really should do it. I didn't do that. I have mentioned golf a lot in the past 30 seconds, I know. But I did tell her this. I said, sweetie, it's up to you. It's your decision. And we're going to give you a time frame. You've got to have a decision to us by this time. Jillian is a very natural golfer. She's very good. And so here's what we did. So we told her, we said, pray about it. Just pray about it. Because if it's the decision, if it's God's decision, it's going to be the right decision. If it's your decision, you may make a bad decision. So I said, pray about it. So we brought her downstairs and we gathered as a family and it was a perfect opportunity. And I just opened my Bible. I said, sweetie, are you familiar with this passage? And she said, I'm not. And I said, let me read it to you. And I read it to her and the light just came on, just literally came on. And you could just see that her eyes were open. And so we got done and she went upstairs. She said, I know what I'm going to do. And Cam said, where did you get that? And I said, not from here, from here. This is what we do. God will speak to us. God will enlighten us. God will converse with us, but we got to allow him to do it with us. Oftentimes, we just don't. We've got to be constantly immersed in prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, may my spoken words and unspoken thoughts be pleasing even to you, O my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Let me ask you this. Do you love your spouse a lot? It's a fair question. Fair question. Do you love God a lot? Do you? I mean, really, do you love God a lot? When's the last time you told him that you loved him? I just called to say I love you. Did you do that? You call God up, just say, God, I love you. Crazy about you. Think about you all the time. Appreciate you. Did you do it? Because he wants to hear from you. When's the last time you looked your wife or husband in the eye and said, I love you, I adore you, I appreciate you, I am grateful for you. I'm going to encourage you to do this as soon as you possibly can. Let them know how important they are to you. And when you do this, you're going to feel a line of communication that's going to become very open. You'll appreciate this, and they'll appreciate this as well. If you love God a lot, talk to him a lot. And be prepared by reading his word to hear from him and communicate with him as your relationship grows and is strengthened in him. God wants a lot of communication. Are we lacking in our praying? Are you ready to say today, God, I'm ready to talk to you multiple times every day? That's a lot of prayer. That's what he wants. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have called us out. You have made us see that communication is part of our relations that we have with you. Today, I pray that you'll help us to see that we've got to converse with you. We've got to talk to you. We've got to get close to you. And I pray that as we learn this in our relationship between us, I pray that this would be shared with our spouse, and I pray that we would learn to communicate with them more. I pray that we'll show them how much we adore them. I pray that when we make mistakes, and we make mistakes, that we'll confess our wrongdoings before them and before you. I pray that we'll always be thankful. I pray that we'll thank them and thank you. And lastly, I pray that we will continue to see that we need our spouses and we need you. And I pray today that you would help us to spend more time in your word so we can hear your words. Let us be led by your words, not our ideas. And I pray today that you'll help us to grow in your word. Thank you for this opportunity today to pray to you and to find you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song that John McMullen has chosen for us today. And that song is called There's a Light by Todd Smith. I was a speech communication major at Eastern Illinois University, and one thing that we did, and that I remember we had a couple of classes like this, called an impromptu speech class. It's where you just get up and you have to talk about anything. Oh, that was dangerous. Woo! Some of those kids should never have been allowed to be enrolled at Eastern Illinois University in the speech department. But here's what we're going to do today. Today, you're going to get a chance to play the role of Eastern Illinois University speech department individual, and I'm going to give you a chance to speak. No, you don't have to worry. Don't freak out. I know what you're thinking. Oh, my, no, he's not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. But you're going to do it quietly. You're going to have a chance today to speak to God. This is how we're going to close the service. I'm not going to pray. You're going to pray quietly, silently with God. Just talk to him. Converse with him. Tell him how much you love the church or the person you're sitting next to or the song that you just sung or anything that's going on in your life over this Labor Day weekend. You've got, I mean, there's never a time frame with God, but we have a little bit of a time frame because there's going to be people coming in real soon here. So I'm going to give you like a minute just to converse with God. Here it is. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Have fun. Talk.